Hey kids, this is the Rish Outcast. My name is Rish Outfield and I am your host. And this is an interesting experiment because I sat down to do this episode as a podcast. The dares not speak its name. And that is where I sit down in front of a microphone and I concentrate. And I'm not on the go. But today, tonight, I was supposed to get together with Big Anklevich. We were going to get together and eat, at least. Probably talk about writing. But we had a snowstorm. And I have to admit that I chickened out. I told him, I'm doing 15 miles an hour. I'm afraid I'm going to go off the road. There's very little visibility. It's just the snowing like crazy. And there have been tons of accidents. You know, the media is saying, if you can avoid driving in this, then do. And so I canceled on him, which is only fair. I mean, he's canceled on me a bunch of times, but it's not usually for something like that. Where it's like, ooh, I don't want to die. So, I chose security over podcasting. And I sat down, I was just about to start recording, and I thought, you know what might be fun is to go out and walk in the snow and do an episode that way. So, you know, I got bundled up, got some shoes on, like the closest thing I have to boots, and I'm walking through the snow. But I thought about whether it might be loud, my footsteps being super noisy as I'm walking around. And once I got out here, I mean, the snow is so fresh that you can hear me a little bit walking, but it's not bad. The thing that I didn't take into account is that it's cold. It's snowing, and now I've got snow all over my head, all over my face. It's even going in my mouth as I talk. So I don't know how long I'll be able to keep this up. But hey, I do this stuff for you. It's remember that Bryan Adams song? Cuts like a knife. Everything I do, kids, cuts like a knife. There's a silence. You know, they say a blanket of snow, but there's also a quiet that comes from this kind of weather. Just people get in where it's warm. They turn on the television and the heater. They get naked. Do all these wonderful things. You're not supposed to be out in weather like this. Oh, almost went down there, kids. Now I'm starting to really reconsider this podcasting thing. This is an episode that I'm doing for a guy who posted on my blog. I think he posted yesterday on a blog post from 2015. There was a post about one of those contests, the Masters of the Macabre contest that I used to enter. And the 2015 one was the last time I entered that contest. And I did a blog post about the contest. And hey, you can go to this link and you can listen to the episode. Anyway, I guess a couple years later, that episode is no longer available to listen to. So he said, hey, you know, does that still exist? Is it still around? And I thought, you know, I'll bet I still have it. And I could present it as a Rish Outcast, and I wouldn't have to do a goddamn thing. I could just run it, then talk about it. So I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to run the story, well, it's an audio drama called Misfortune. And it was written for the contest. And maybe I'll talk a little bit about that afterward. But it's me and my niece and the great Renee Chambliss doing all the parts. Well, just listen to it and we'll talk about it afterward, okay?
Misfortune. by Rish Outfield.
That was all right.
Oh, that was good one.
You just made that up.
I swear, that's where the word geek came from.
No, it's from the 60s, like hippie.
You're thinking of nerd. That's from the 60s. Geek has been around since, like, the 1800s.
I think you're lying, but I'm willing to let it go.
Well, that's the difference between us. What do you want to do now?
I don't know. It's your pick, Jeffrey.
Okay. Let's go back to the motel and watch TV.
How boring are you? We're out in a strange city, and you don't want to do things? I didn't get all dressed up to watch television.
All right, then. Let's go somewhere and fool around.
I didn't get all dressed up just to take it off again.
Terilyn, did we take a wrong turn? Where are all the people?
Hey there, strangers.
Oh, you startled us. Hello, sweetie.
Hey, little girl. Are you lost, or is it us?
Tell your fortune? Take a step inside.
No, thanks, kid.
Afraid of a glimpse of your future, mister?
We're on vacation.
How about you, pretty lady?
How much?
$20. But for you, $10.
I'll save you the money. Terilyn, I see jet lag, massive credit card bills, and an unhappy return to work next week in your palm.
I don't read palms. I read the tarot.
You're the fortune teller?
What are you, 8?
I am 10, and I have a special gift.
Oh, let's do it.
What? Are you serious?
Step right in here, sir and madam.
All right.
Oh, come on.
I have on the table a special deck of the sacred tarot, a way to peek into destiny.
Ter, you don't believe in that stuff, do you?
As a matter of fact, I do.
You believe in everything.
I didn't believe you about the dudes who bite the heads off chickens.
I just can't win.
I should have told you that before we started dating. Sorry.
Honey,
Shh. She's dealing.
The Hermit.
Yep, that's you, Jeff.
The Hermit represents travel, solitude, a transition, the end of something.
Big surprise. We are on vacation.
It is crossed by the Lovers.
Is that both of us or just Jeffrey?
In this case, it signifies an unhappy choice for the Hermit.
Say, like, coming in to get my palm read by a kid?
Oh, a separation. One of you will leave. A happy union split in two. A crossroads reached. And the wrong turn taken.
Damn it, Jeffrey. I knew you were being distant.
When?
I felt it before, but I thought it was my imagination.
It is your imagination.
All I needed was a sign, and here it is.
Come on, this is bullshit.
You're not gonna leave me, Jeffrey, because I'm gonna beat you to it.
It's a joke, Ter. A scam. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah? Neither do you.
This night just keeps getting better.
Whoops. There she goes.
Why would you do that? I'll be lucky if she lets me in our hotel room.
I just laid the cars as they wanted to be laid.
What about how I wanted to be laid? Ugh. She's been acting weird all trip. My mother said never to get involved with a girl who had a tattoo of Eleanor Roosevelt. But did I listen? What? No sage advice now from Sabrina the pre-teenage witch?
Yeah, you're a real help, kid. And in the future, if you want a big tip, tell people they're going to live forever, that their love is perfect, one in a million and the stars...
Wait, you don't have to pay me, mister. Let me make it up to you.
How? Explain to my girlfriend that tarot cards are less reliable than fortune cookies?
Come on.
Terilyn! Terilyn! She's gone. I don't even know which way the hotel is. I can't remember how we got here.
You've been drinking.
Yeah, a little, yeah. But that doesn't mean
But I can help you get back.
I don't. All right.
Follow me.
Do you know the Royal Chittister Hotel?
Oh yeah, everyone knows that one. Nice rooms.
Wait, where did everybody go? There was dancing, music, people everywhere. I thought this city never went to sleep.
Tourists, maybe. The locals are all indoors tonight.
They are? Why is that?
Have you ever heard of the Rawhead?
They were an 80s metal band, right? Man, they sucked.
It's a creature, Maester. Rawhead and Bloody Bones. A story people tell.
A story?
A scary story. And maybe more than a story.
Is that the main street? It seems too dark. Right or left?
Left.
Hey, you ought to be careful out here by yourself. You know?
Years ago, there was an old woman who lived here. When this was all forest. She lived by herself, but she had pet pigs. She loved the pigs.
Right. Who doesn't?
But the townspeople wanted a feast for the war celebration. So they caught some of the pigs, slaughtered them, had a big banquet.
Is that what all the buffets were about today and yesterday?
Yes. But what the villagers didn't know was the old woman was a witch. She was furious when she found out, and she cast a magic spell on the remains of her friends, the pigs.
Oh, I saw this once, a Disney movie.
The bones and meat and the uneaten flesh came back to life and began to walk around.
If it bit the heads off chickens, I'm gonna be somewhat impressed.
Not chickens, mister. But you're on the right track.
It was hungry to put a little fat on its bones.
You gotta tell my girlfriend this story when we get back. I like history, all right, but she just loves ghost stories and internet rumors and, you know, Da Vinci code breakers and conspiracies. I wish she was here now.
Well, the Rawhead, as folks called it, was too awful to look at, too obviously a monster, so its mother cast another spell before she died, that the Rawhead could choose to look like whatever it wanted. That made hunting a lot easier.
And let me guess, tonight is the anniversary of the night the monster was born, something everybody in the town knows about and celebrates. Tamlin would love this.
Turn right here.
Wow. It's creepy to see the streets abandoned like this. I hope Tamlin made it back okay.
Oh, she's fine.
I can't believe nobody would be out walking around. It's unsettling, you know? So, kid, all the people really believe this story. But do you believe in the Rawhide?
Rawhead. I do.
Well, maybe we should talk about something else. So, how long have you been telling fortunes? Hey, wait a minute. This isn't the right street. It just ends at that wall.
It's fine. Look.
What? What am I looking at?
Look at me.
What do you... My God! What's that on your face?
My face?
No. You didn't look like this before. Your eyes are... Your teeth...
Go ahead and say it. From the fairy tales.
Say what?
You know. What big teeth you have.
Help! Somebody help me!
I will.
Oh,
So that was Misfortune.
Misfortune.
And I won't bury the lead. That one actually won the contest. And that's not a good thing because it meant I could no longer enter their contests. It was the fifth year in a row that I entered it. And having lost the first four times, I really felt like I had an advantage on this one because they wanted you to do it with multiple voices, I believe. My feeling is they said, we want you to do audio drama instead of a story this year. And I had done audio drama, not a lot, but more than most, I would wager. And so I had that advantage. And then they wanted multiple voices. And, you know, I had Renee Chambliss, who's my friend. And she is willing to do these things for me. And, I mean, she's a professional, dude. She's great. Just this week, I was editing some lines that she sent me. I'll be honest, not all lines that get sent me are great. Voiceover is really hard to do. Well, maybe that's not correct. It's really hard to do well. And yeah, while I was editing her lines in, I was just thrilled with them. I was just like, wow. Because she knows what she's doing. And for some reason, Renee always sends me multiple takes on her parts. I don't know why. I guess she's just eager to please. She's a good person. For the lines that I was editing together this week, I almost without fail would use her first take. She would send me three takes, sometimes four takes. I almost always used the first one. Just because her instincts are that good. The first one is what I want. And then she would switch it up a little bit. But I didn't need it switched up. She did fine the first time. So anyhow, high praise, I know. But I had that advantage that I had her helping me out. I had done audio drama before. And I knew I could do sound effects, that sort of thing. And so, yeah, it's no wonder that I won the contest. And it's too bad that I did because I can't enter it again. There are other contests I can enter. But the thing with the Masters of the Macabre contest is that they would always give you elements that you had to use in your story. And on this particular one, there were three elements that they gave you. One was the location, and I think they gave me like some kind of fair, some kind of town celebration. I honestly don't know. I looked on that 2015 blog post and I didn't know then. The second thing was that there was a tarot card from the major arcana that had to play into the story in some way, and they gave you a card, and mine was the Hermit. And so I had to go and read a little bit about the major arcana and what the Hermit meant and hope that it inspired me. And the third thing was that each story had to have some kind of monster or villain or threat. And I was given something called the Raw Head. And I have to admit, I had no idea what that was. I vaguely remembered there being a movie called Rawhead Rex years ago. And yeah, there was a, what's his name? Clive Barker, I think, either wrote it or produced it or directed it. It was called Rawhead Rex, but I never saw it. So that didn't help me. I just had to look it up. And I had forgotten this, but there were two different definitions of the Rawhead. Two different versions of this particular urban legend or bit of folklore. And one was that it was a name for the boogeyman from the late 19th century in England. And if a child had been naughty or disobedient or, you know, etc., then the Rawhead would come and speak to them very sternly. But then the other definition was the one that I used in the story, which was from the American South. And it was a like a reanimated collection of guts and bones that walked the earth. It was called Rawhead and Bloody Bones. And I had never heard of that. So I read about that and I thought, oh, that's interesting. I like that. And that's where the story came from. I'm sorry. I'm feeling cold. So I'm going to go in. Hopefully this hasn't been too loud. These are my footsteps right now. The powder is so fresh and so thick that there's not really any sound as I walk. It's just white everywhere. On the street, the night is quite bright because of all the reflected light from the snow. So I'm glad that I didn't go drive in it. I mean, Big and I can get together another time, I would think. I don't know. We probably need a break from each other anyway. Okay, now I'm indoors again. I'm going to sit down as though this is a podcast that dares not speak its name. But fake Sean Connery's not around. If he were here, what would he have to say?
He would have to say that originally you were going to set this story during Mardi Gras and have the main character be drunk and get lost, and he runs into a little girl that is going to guide him. Maybe it is Mardi Gras. I don't know. I haven't listened to it since I submitted it. What I remember, though, was that it was really, really easy to write this story. It sort of told itself once I knew what the Rawhead was, it became just too easy. The only difficult thing was coming up with the title for it. And this is a list of titles that I have written down here. Wrong Turn, After the Festival, Rawhead Festival, Raw Fortune, Unfortunate, Misfortune Teller, Rawhead and the Misfortune. So those were my potential titles. Oh, you know, I put that in my blog post as well. Raw Deal was one of the ones that I thought of. And Raw Deal is a pretty good title because it sort of refers to Rawhead, but it's also a saying. Yeah, unfortunately, it's also a 1980s Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. So that's too bad. Anyway, Misfortune. I split that into two words, and I like that title a lot, or at least I did in the blog post that I wrote. It's funny, the snow has turned into water, and it's just running off my head and my hair, like I'm sweating, like I did exercise. Anyway, this contest was June and July of 2015. You know, I think I remember in 2016, when the contest came around again, that I considered entering it under a pseudonym. And I don't know why I didn't. Usually I'm out of town in July, and so maybe that was part of it, I don't know. But yeah, maybe 2017 I'll enter the contest under a pseudonym. Boy, this feels like a really, really short episode. I'm sorry, guys. I wish I had more memories of the production. In my blog here, it said the story, the production, was only allowed to be 10 minutes long. But fortunately, my first draft, you know, getting to the end, was only 10 minutes and 14 seconds long. And I remember on some of the others, such as the Scottish scene, it being like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes too long. One of them was nearly double, or perhaps was double. So I had to, well, I did a lot of things. I had to cut out some parts. I had to consolidate dialogue. I had to speed up my narration, speed up the whole production. Yes, I made edits. and I would rewrite lines so that there were fewer words in the sentences. But yeah, on the one that ended up being like 18 minutes long, basically you just have to butcher something like that. When that happens, oh, you know what? It might have been the story I call Creature Feature, which was called Lighthouse View in the contest. It was the one about the lighthouse and the worm? Caterpillar? I can't remember. Anyhow, that one I remember being so long that I had to cut out like basically all the character development, and it just became sort of a synopsis of a story rather than the story itself. And I think that one, Creature Feature, is the only one that I've actually run on the show. Gosh, I hope I ran it on the show. I've got a file. Huh, I wonder. Anyhow, it occurs to me that, you know, I do have the other stories that I wrote for this contest that I could run on this show. And if you can't go to Horror Addicts podcast anymore and listen to those old ones, then by all means, I should produce them on here. I mean, how else would anybody hear them? I don't know. I'm of two minds because I never liked two of the stories. I didn't like White House Tour, and I didn't like Friends in Paradise, the first one that I did. But I don't know. I think if I went back and listened to those, all five of them have to have something that I would like. Some aspect, whether it's dialogue. Oh, yeah. Friends in Paradise is a story that I never liked and I never felt like was very inspired. But I think about this part where the father is bemoaning the loss of his daughter's beautiful legs and how unsettling that is to hear the dad wail that. I think about that all the time. Him saying, oh, her beautiful legs. I don't know why. So, I mean, even that story, my least favorite of the five, has that aspect that comes back to me all the time. You hear me say it's not a great story a lot. And I mean, if I presented any of those, it would be just a given that I would say that. But what's interesting about those stories is they were all written to certain specifications. Hence, they were all stories that I wouldn't have written on my own. And that means something. That's kind of cool. Anyhow, I'm just going to let you go. This has been a short episode, and that's fine. Maybe I will ask Sir Fake Sean to do something, to say something. Other than just, the Rishoutcast is produced under a Creative Commons attribution, non-derivative, no, non-commercial, no derivative, damn it, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 license. Hence, you may copy the file, you may play the file for all to hear, but you are not allowed to edit the files or take credit for the files. Not that you would want to. Good night. Well, thanks, Sir Fake Sean. Anyhow, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If anything, the snow is kind of beautiful. Good night.
All right, guys. Time travel time. I said I wanted to add something. The thing is, with the Sean Connery songs, I try to put those on the conversation episodes, the ones without a story production, because I want people to listen to those too. And I understand that there might be people that only want the story episodes, and so I try and mark it on each episode, at least in the keywords, so people know. But time travel, like I said, this is months later. It's right in the middle of spring right now, and it came time in the rotation for this episode, for the Ms. Fortune episode, and so I've been editing it, and I finished the edit today, and I realized, you know, I recorded it in the snow, and I was just like, boy, maybe I should wait, maybe I should sit on this one another 6 months, like I did with Stormy Weather, and release it in the winter, But then I thought, well, maybe people don't care. I don't know. So I posted on Facebook and asked, which should I do? And there was one person who sort of agreed with me that, you know, yeah, it'd probably be better if you waited until the winter at least. So it's not jarring that you're talking about walking around in snow. But everybody else was like, nah, just put it out whenever. It doesn't matter. You know, somebody even brought up that in half of the world, in the southern hemisphere, it's just starting to be winter. So let's, you know, throw them a bone. So I decided, okay, the episode comes out now. I had the original edit of the piece in really, really high quality audio, but I didn't have the original recordings. And so when I listened to that just the last couple of days, there were a couple of things that I would like to change, but I had all this, the sound effects in there, you know, the footsteps and the crickets and dogs barking and the cards flipping and all that stuff. And it would be difficult to make edits. Sorry, by edits, it would be difficult to change things. Like there, I felt like, I think I mentioned, you know, it had to be 10 minutes exactly or less. And so I made it like, you know, 9 minutes and 59 seconds long. And yeah, there were times when I could tell that I cut out a little bit of space in between people's lines, you know, just trying to get it down to 10 minutes. It wasn't tremendously difficult because I didn't have to cut out that much. But there were also a couple of lines, I think, that I cut out. And because I didn't have Renee's original recording and I didn't have my niece's original recording, I couldn't put back in anything that either of them said. But I could re-record cut lines of myself if I wanted to. And what I did is I ended up putting one of those back in and fixing one little tiny thing that I didn't like. And so the final product ends up being like 10 minutes and 14 seconds, 10 minutes and 12 seconds, something like that. But it's 98% what it was in 2014 or 15, whenever I created this for their contest. And yeah, there are things that I would change. There are things that I would fix and expand. And certainly the girlfriend's reasoning for leaving, I think I would give her a little bit more to say so it doesn't just come out of nowhere. Look, I guess I could have Renee send me some new lines and put them in, and they would sound the same. But with my niece, when she recorded these lines, she was still a girl, and now she's a teenager, or young woman, whatever you want to say. There's no way she could sound the way that she sounded then. So I guess, yeah, the two adults could expand. But then it occurred to me, it's like, look, if I was going to do that, I might as well just do the production over again. Start from scratch, or better yet, just write a new story, because maybe there are parts that I don't love in this, but overall, I think it worked fairly well. It's fine. The ending, the very, 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 very end, where I've got like chomping noises and me screaming, and I think there's some kind of spattering noise and a child's laughter and pigs snorting or whatever pigs do and squealing and all that stuff. That, ugh, I know that could have worked a little bit better. That could have. But rather than try and fix that, which I don't know, it could work, I'm just going to release this. Release it as close to how it was supposed to be when I wrote it, when I produced it, when I entered it in the contest. Look, I was lucky enough to have the cut of that. You know, I don't have the original recordings, like I said. It's like I have the work print of a movie, but I don't have the original negatives of that movie. So I have like a pristine, high-quality version of the recording, but I can't really do much to change it, and why would I? You know, so here you go. Here's something. Enjoy. I mean, if you can. Then we'll go on to something else, something next time. I'm not a huge fan of audio drama. I much prefer short stories, either with full cast readings or, you know, a single person narrator. I like that better. but there are things that I write that are intended for audio, and those are essentially, like most of my sketches, you could definitely say are audio drama. I don't know. There are people that do it really, really well, and I know that I'm not one of them, but, you know, I did it well enough in this one. And it doesn't discourage me from that format, the audio drama. I'll do more. In fact, I had this idea of one just the other day. I went to Taco Bell, and I don't know why Taco Bell has anything to do with it, but I always take my notebook with me when I go to Taco Bell. And after I eat, I sit and I sort of force myself to write. And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to write a sketch about like a grouchy old patriarch of a family, like, you know, grandpa has gathered together his family. Grandpa is about to die. And so the lawyer comes out and he's like, okay, this is for the reading of grandpa's will or whatever you want to call it. And grandpa is just a terrible person. And a lot of these people only came because, you know, he has money. And so at the reading of the will, grandpa's like sadistic side comes out. And the lawyer says something like, okay, the first person to say something truly offensive in front of the others gets $150. And people are scrambling to please grandpa at the end of his life. And he's just nasty. It's like the first person to strike Betsy across the face, grandpa will leave $300 to, or whatever. Although these seem like small amounts. $300, you know, $1,000, whatever it is. I don't know. But in my mind, I was just like, oh, you know how much fun that would be to just, and I could voice grandpa, and most of his lines would consist of, he's laughing while his children and grandchildren like jump through these hoops, these sick hoops, you know, stuff that he's prepared and the lawyer is forced to read. Anyway, that would be an audio drama, and that just seemed amusing to me. I'm going to leave you now. I guess I added two or three extra minutes to the episode, and that's fine. Thank you for listening through. Thanks for supporting me. And you be careful out there.
Oh, right here on my blog I wrote, I still like the part where the dad was talking about his daughter's beautiful legs. I should cut that out.